You are listening to KTOO 104.3 and KAUK 91.7. It's Friday, July 18th, 2025. This is Boston Christopher, producer and host of Juno Afternoon. Before we begin today, you may have heard that Congress over the last several days approved H.R. 4, Rescissions Act of 2025, which President Trump will sign today. This will defund already appropriated funds to the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and will have a profound impact on public media stations throughout Alaska and the entire nation. Justin Shoman, KTOO's president and general manager, shared the following statement that I will now read in its entirety. The White House rescissions request was approved by Congress late last night. KTOO would like to thank our community for their continuous outreach to our lawmakers in Washington. Tens of thousands of Alaskans contacted their congressional representatives in Washington, and while we made our voices heard, not everyone chose to listen. Federal funding is essential for local public television and radio stations' ability to provide all Americans and communities across the country with vital services like public safety, education, and community connections everywhere, every day, free of charge. This destructive rescission of CPB funding, the substantial majority of which goes to local stations per statutory formula, will result in sweeping cuts to local services, news, direct access to state government on Gavel, Alaska, and local music programs. The projected federal grant for KTOO in fiscal year 2026 was nearly $1.2 million, representing 34% of our operating revenue for the business year that began 18 days ago. We now have incredibly challenging decisions to make in the weeks ahead. We will navigate these waters with focus on maintaining key services and appropriately scaling them to ensure financial sustainability. All decisions will be made with an eye toward rebuilding our capacity for community service in the future. Journalism in America is under threat. Paywalls are rising and local newsrooms are shuttering. All too often, misinformation is filling the void. With federal funding for public media eliminated, this threat has tipped into a crisis, especially in Alaska. And this is not just an assault on the free press, it's an assault on public safety, especially in rural areas of Alaska. We will fight to restore federal funding. In the meantime, donating to KTOO Public Media is more important than it has ever been. Every dollar helps us to offset this massive attack on our ability to serve the community. This is a critical moment for our democracy. Local information, storytelling, and fact-based news are the foundation of cultural understanding and underpin a belief system that prioritizes people over politics to advance a democratic republic. Again, that was a written statement from KTOO's president and general manager, Justin Shoman. If you have the means, now is the time to show your support at ktoo.org. I know our team is working incredibly hard to find alternatives and solutions, but challenging times are ahead. In the meantime, we have a show to do, bringing you the best of our Juno community. This is Juno Afternoon. Gunnath Cheesh for listening.
Hanson Gress. Ka eat with the shoe ye, we kashuk a ye tin. Jin kat ka ke jin ta khanakaya ha anikak. Gunnath Cheesh.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Alaska Airlines Club 49. Membership information available at club49hub.com.
You're listening to KTOO's Tlingit Word of the Week. This week's word comes from Kehinak John Martin. And the word this week is ch'uk.
Ch'uk.
That means coho or silver salmon. And here's a sentence.
Yakdatakhea ch'ukhutziti.
It was from Yakutat that the coho were born. Let's hear it again.
Ch'uk.
Coho or silver salmon. Gunnath Cheesh to Hune Lance Twitchell, Gold Belt Heritage Foundation, and the University of Alaska Southeast for this audio.
Kehinak
John Martin was Dakdain Tan and a child of a Kaguantan man. He is from the Hunakawu, the people of Huna, and was a contributing elder and speaker at many language immersion gatherings in Glacier Bay, Yakutat, and Juneau. He attended boarding school in Shkakwe, Skagway, and attended Gonzaga University.
Tune in next week for another Tlingit Word of the Week from KTOO.
You are listening to community-supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO at 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. You can also join us behind the scenes for an in-studio look on our live stream on KTOO's YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram pages. On the show today, Sale is here to talk about a movie event celebrating Disability Pride Month. The medieval era comes alive in the upcoming Masters Fair, but we start today with Theater Alaska as it continues the Alaska Theater Festival next weekend with another in its series of shows called Climate Fair for a Cool Planet, a series of short plays and performances happening at Overstreet Park on Saturday, July 26th at 2 p.m. It will also include some work from Stay Cool Summer Camp Kids. So we're going to hear all about that, what that begins next week. I'm joined now by a few members of the team in studio here, dedicated to Carolyn Hobbs Peterson at Studio 2K here at KTOO. I've got Flordolino Lagandino, Artistic Director of Theater Alaska. Gunath Chi, Salama, how are you today?
Good, how are you doing?
I'm excellent. I also have Jake Wade, well-known Juno theater artist and director of and writer of one of the pieces as well. Gunath Cheese, Jake, Wasiyati, how are you?
Okay, good, thank you.
Thanks, and boss. Yeah, of course, welcome in. And Brian Crowder, who is co-producer, and he is also going to be in the piece that Jake and Dave Hunsaker wrote. Gunath Cheese, Brian, how are you today?
Gunath Cheese, thank you. I'm doing very good. Thanks for
asking,
Boston.
Yeah, of course. So let's start with, this is the third or fourth year of...
Fourth annual? Is that right?
Fourth annual of the Climate Fair for a Cool Planet.
I want to say fifth, but I think it's fourth.
And this is something that you started in conjunction with 350 Juno,
that's right? That's
and
right.
How did it all begin? Why are we do this particular series called Climate Fair for a Cool Planet?
Yeah, I was approached by board members of 350 Juno 4 years ago, maybe 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And they were
time
like,
is relative.
Yeah, time is relative. And we're very interested in these topics, and they were very interested in seeing how theater might bring more people into the conversation about the environment, and then also taking away our investments in fossil fuels. So that we were very interested, and we got involved with it. Christina Apathy was a part of this. So a lot of our members have been active in it, as well as Frank Gattas, who's also a member. So yeah, so this is our fourth year. We're no longer partnering with 50 Juno on this, but we very much are interested in this topic still, the environment, and have some really wonderful artists working with us this year.
Absolutely. So, Brian, as co-producer of the festival, what does that mean? What are you doing? Are you getting all these? How many pieces are there, and what is your role in making it all happen?
A lot of emailing, as well as talking to the artists that are involved and seeing what it is that they plan to do for the festival. So figuring out whether or not it's a music piece or if it's stories from the community that are being told and activities surrounding those stories or actual short pieces written by local artists such as Jake here to my right and Dave Hunsaker. So a lot of communication, a lot of just figuring things out, the needs, what we'll need there for that day, making sure that everybody feels comfortable, that there's tents in case it starts raining on people. So making sure that all the balls are being accounted for while they're being tossed in the air and that they all land back down in our hands.
As I mentioned, this is happening at Overstreet Park, the whale statue downtown on Saturday, July 26th at 2 p.m. Yeah. It's live theater, puppetry, and music. So yeah. There's going to be all kinds of stuff. And Jake, you're mostly known as an actor. You've been an actor for, you know, generations, decades, whatever we want to call it.
Oof, okay, slow down. We can just say for a while.
Many years. Anyway, but now I know you just recently directed a play, and now you're writing a play with Dave Hunsaker. Are you expanding your horizons?
I am. I'm dipping my toe, I'd say, so far. But I hope to be fully submerged soon. I'm going to get slayed for this. Juno Ghostlight and Perseverance Theater partnered this year, and they did the 24-hour festival.
Insomniacs.
Thank you so much. I did Insomniacs. This was a few days after I had told my wife, I'll back it up a little bit. I did a couple of acting gigs in New York, and one in New York City, another at Jiva Theater in Rochester this year. And they were great. They were perfect. They were everything I wanted them to be. And it was not worth it to leave town. Mm. I've got a 4-year-old, and I love being at home in Juneau, and for years I've just been going out of town and doing jobs and having that life. And it was just a moment of realization that I need to find things to do in town. So I told my wife, I'm going to start writing. I'm going to start directing and looking for things in town to sort of fill my plate, so I don't feel like I need to get out and do something.
Mm.
And then 3 days later, Kate Ross called and said, "Do you want to do Insomniacs?" I said, "Yep." I just, said, "Yep." So I directed a little piece that Tripp Krause wrote. Dave Hunsaker was involved in that as a writer as well, and we all watched each other's pieces at the end of this 24 hours, which was awesome. And I guess Dave kind of liked, what I did with Tripp's little piece, yeah. And sort of told Flor DeLino, and then Flor asked me if I wanted to partner with Dave. Dave was interested in working with me, and he didn't say he wanted to write with me, but I just wrote something real quick. I was like, "Well, I want to be on my game. This is Dave Hunsaker. He's a, sort of our local celebrated screenwriter, playwright." And I was like, "I want to come with something." So I just wrote a little piece with the idea that I wanted to make it an event, right? Something positive that wasn't preaching to people, because this can be a sensitive topic. Mm-hmm. Climate change, unfortunately, it's sensitive for some people. But I don't want to push people away from the conversation. So, and Dave is maybe a little more... what was the word you used? Vociferous.
Maybe a little
angsty and cynical together with my voice. So we sort of came up with an idea. I don't want to give them too much away because
yeah, you got to come.
Brian
see it.
Is going to actually he's gonna blow it out of the water. It's gonna be very good, but it's the idea of I want people to be next year what are they going to do this time to top that? I'm really building this up because it is actually going to be, it's going to be something that is going to get attention of all the people that are there to see the climate fair and the people that might be just there to get a picture, maybe tourists just taking a picture of the whale, whoa, what's going on here?
Right.
So there's going to be a little bit of tension and a little bit of fun.
A little bit of magic.
And a little bit of magic, I hope, is the idea.
This is called Fair Unfair. It's by Jake Wade and Dave Hunsinger. It's one of the pieces. And again, this is the Climate Fair for a Cool Planet. We're talking to Theater Alaska about their event, which is next Saturday, not tomorrow, next Saturday at 2 p.m. And it's free of charge.
Free of charge.
You can show up, as most of the stuff that Theater Alaska does is offered to the community. You can, of course, donate if you want
to. Donations are very welcome.
That's always welcome. So that's just one piece, though, Flor DeLino. We have a variety of things. There's also some cool music stuff.
Lisa Denny, she's going to be playing the uke and also singing. She did that last year. Noah Carlson, who is a local actor and theater person. She's doing an installation called This Isn't New, Collective Memory of a Changing World. And she's looking at trees and how they hold memory and how we as individuals in our DNA, how we can shift and through stories. So it's a really interesting way. She's gonna, it's like kind of like theater for one. You're gonna interact with her, and then she's gonna tell, like, I think she's like three different stories she's gonna like tell to audience members one at a time.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
So it's like a solo. I get to just have her, me and her.
Just you and her are gonna be talking to each other. So, yeah.
Oh, wow. That sounds really fascinating.
Yeah. And then Spencer Edgars, we commissioned him to write a 15-minute work. And Trip Krause has some poetry in that. I haven't heard it yet, but I'm really interested in this. We're really kind of interested in the idea of time and of installations in this this time. So this time around, because we're focusing a lot more on art. And then I know that Brian has been working with Darius Menino and Roblin Davis on a piece in which they're creating a Kraken puppet.
I know last year you had some giant puppets out there, which is going to be really fun. Now, I also want to mention that Spencer Edgars, people may know, he's a local composer, just worked with the Juno Symphony and has worked with Taylor Dallas Fiddick, local musician. Quite a wonderful composer.
Yes.
So it's interesting to see like the marriage of that work with sort of theater and performance and sort of the experimentation there that you're able to do. That's going to be kind of cool. And so, Brian, tell us about this puppet that Roblin and Darius are definitely well known for their puppetry. Roblin did a successful clowning class a couple months ago, but he's really into puppetry, and I know Darius is too. Tell us a little bit about the puppet that's going to be.
Yeah, I was just there this morning helping kind of look at the engineering behind it. I think that's what I can call it because it looked complicated.
Yeah.
There were hundreds and hundreds of plastic bottles stitched together creating these tentacles, and
oh my gosh,
we were hauling them through the house, and luckily Roblin was smart enough to create little hinge joints with the packaging tape that's being used to keep all the bottles connected to each other so they don't go flying off in the wind or the rain and they all stay connected. But it is very cool. It's all connected by what is essentially a hula hoop around the person, which kind of acts as the frame. And there are these, you know, you're probably familiar with the pretzel boxes from Costco, the square ones, the rectangles. Yeah, those are all connected around that house the actual tentacles to come out of, and there'll be people puppeteering the large installment of the Kraken, walking it from the shoreline coming out of the ocean. I don't know if I'm giving away secrets right now or not, but there will be sort of a reveal of this Kraken coming to life, and it sounds very very cool, and it looks awesome.
Well, it's interesting because it feels like it's exactly what Jake was saying before. It sounds like Roblin and Darius are thinking about like how do we go bigger from how do we do something to top last year's puppetry situation. And so, and this climate fair for a cool planet just keeps getting bigger and bigger. And one last thing I want to talk about, Florilino, is the Stay Cool Camp, which begins on Monday. They're also going to be performing something, right? Tell us a little bit about the Stay Cool Camp and what you're doing with education.
Yeah. Federica Borlenghi, she is an Italian artist that came in to do Henry V and A Christmas Carol. She did the set and the properties. She also teaches in New York City for this company, and she teaches design to high school students. So the high school students, they write the plays, and then they design, she helps them design the set for that. So that's what they're going to do here with her partner, her teaching partner, Kovey Brannon. They both went to New School in New York City. But they are going to, the kids are going to be writing, directing, performing, creating all these different, whatever they come up with. I don't even know what they're going to do.
Yeah.
But next week, and then they're going to perform that on Saturday, next Saturday.
Oh, that's so cool. Yeah. So we don't even know what that's going to be.
Don't even know what's going to be.
What's up, Jake?
And I absolutely have to mention that also in my piece that Dave and I are writing with Brian are my wife, Allison Wade, and Frank Katas.
Oh, nice.
Which is another cool thing when you're writing and creating work. You get to hire. You get to cast and work with the people that you want to work with. So
yeah,
there
absolutely.
You go.
That sounds really
I'd be
fun.
Remiss if
yeah.
I didn't mention.
Yeah, and
my
I know
wife and
I was
Frank.
Trying. Yeah, of course. Please do. And is there anybody else you want to shout? I see Connor Lindrum's on here.
Connor
as well.
Lindrum is writing something. I don't know what it is yet. He hasn't finished writing it. So it's a lot of like making. I was really a concentration this year's like
making stuff.
Making stuff is like, what is in your head right now? How do we put that on stage or put that out into the environment? And what's really wonderful is that this is our fifth year, say, of doing it, but we are now at the Whale and we're just using all parts of the park.
That's really
so that's
cool.
Really exciting. So yeah. when you come, just get ready to kind of walk around.
Yeah.
You know, the singers will probably be in one place, but I don't know where Jake and Brian are going to come from. I have no idea. We're going to stage it a couple of days beforehand, but it's all up in the air right now.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
And is this the wrap up of the Alaska Theater Festival for the summer, or is there something else that we want to pitch now?
There's one more thing that's happening in the Alaska Theater Festival. It keeps going and going on. We have a new event. We're collaborating with Orpheus Project and producing an event called Opera Alaska, a captivating celebration of opera, in which Spencer Edgars again is going to be premiering his 15-minute opera, new opera, and the Icefield Quartet is going to be playing for that. There's also the Juno Dance Theater is going to be creating a new dance piece, and then also there will be some arias and some other scenes from opera repertoire, but it's on August 9th and 10th at Thunder Mountain Middle School Auditorium, and you can learn more about that at our website, www.theateralaska.org.
Yeah, you can go to theateralaska.org, learn everything about things that are coming up. It is Climate Fair for a Cool Planet. It's next Saturday, July 26th at 2 p.m. at Overstreet Park, otherwise known as the Whale Park. Yes, sir.
I just want to say one more thing. It's like, I just want to thank KTOO and NPR and public radio for all that they do, and I hope that everyone supports them in the future.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Gwyneth Cheesh, for being here. I really appreciate it. Have an awesome festival next Saturday for the Climate Fair for a Cool Planet. This is Juno Afternoon on KTOO.
Thank you.
Sounds wild. Hi, I'm Riley Woodford for the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. On a warm spring day, snow is melting fast in a soggy woodland meadow. Several places in this green meadow are marked by overturned soil, pushed out of small burrows tucked into the meadow grass and vegetation. A closer look reveals a network of matted, crisscrossing trails, 2 or 3 inches wide, a curvy maze of matted dead grass and dirt. These mark trails that voles made during the winter, when they were traveling and working under the snow. Voles are rodents, similar to mice, and they don't hibernate. During the winter, they are active in the space between the bottom of the fallen snow and the top of the frozen ground, the subnivian zone. It's ideal for voles, lemmings, shrews, mice, and other small animals that don't hibernate. The snow provides insulation from the winter cold above and hides them from predators. Amid the trails of dirt, I see a wad of vegetation the size of a football, woven from dried grass and stems. I tease it apart. It's hollow inside. It's a nest the voles made during the winter. These trails are likely the work of meadow voles, which live communally. Sounds wild. I'm Riley Woodford.
Support comes from Nugget Alaskan Outfitter with outdoor clothing, gear, and footwear for the whole family, now carrying On running shoes and Gooder running sunglasses. Located in the Mendenhall Mall and online at nuggetoutfitter.com.
The following is an important safety message from the Alaska Highway Safety Office.
Listen up, parents. Is your teen driving with their learner's permit or provisional driver's license? Make sure your teen understands Alaska's graduated driver's license laws so that when they hit Alaska's roads, they and their friends arrive alive. Take the graduated driver's license quiz and find other teen driver safety resources at safealaskans.org/teendriver. Paid for by the Alaska Highway Safety Office.
This is Juno Afternoon from your listener-supported public media station, KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. You can also join us on our live stream on KTO's YouTube, Instagram, and Facebook pages. You can comment and say hi as well. We might see that come through on a message, which is always welcome. Southeast Alaska Independent Living is hosting a movie night next week on July 23rd in celebration of Disability Pride Month. We're going to learn all about that now. With two people from SAIL, I have in the studio with me, Bridget Thompson and Glo Ramirez. Chish, wasiti, how are you today? Welcome in. Hi, Glo.
Hi.
And Glo, of course, we know who designed our little monster. She adapted her little monster's artwork for KTO Design. I think it was 2 years ago.
2 years ago.
And we love the little monster, so that's always good. And working over there at SAIL. And then Bridget, welcome back. Wasiti, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing excellent, as well as we can be.
Yeah.
With the news that we had today. So, but we're doing well. So let's talk about SAIL. Remind us, Bridget, about SAIL, Southeast Alaska Independent Living, just for those who may be new to Juno, like what is SAIL and what does it do?
SAIL is a center for independent living. We support people who identify as having a disability or who are aging in a lot of different ways. So through various programming, through resource facilitation, getting people connected to the right resources, through all sorts of different, you know, peer support groups and advocacy. We, that's how we show support and show up for people who identify as having a disability.
I mentioned this many times when SAIL is on, but SAIL is also, it does really cool things. Like if you happen to break your hip or your upper thigh, like I did a couple years ago, you can get equipment for no cost to help you out, like a shower chair and, you know, a walker and things like that, that you otherwise wouldn't be have access to. And you just rent it and agree to return it in good condition, and what a wonderful service, you know, for those of us who didn't even know we needed it at that point. So,
yeah.
And also many programs, and of course you can go to sailinc.org and see everything that they do. But Glo, we're talking about Disability Pride Month. So tell us a little bit about what that is. It used to be called something different, is that right? Or how did we get to Disability Pride Month?
Because in July 26th, they signed into law the ADA. And that's why this month it started like with a day, and then it extended for a week, and now it's a whole month.
I see. Okay.
Where we can celebrate like the accomplishments and contributions that people with disabilities have made to our society, which is great because, like, let's be honest, anytime that we can accommodate or we can make a change for someone that has a disability, it's great for the rest of us. Like,
yeah.
Texting, which is like right now people don't like to get a call. Like that was for people that couldn't communicate over the phone. Like you had like that applied for them. Things like closed captions, which is like great for me as a person that speaks English as a second language, is fantastic because that's how I learned English, like watching movies, seeing those closed captions.
Oh,
so
right.
Okay. Any accommodation that happens for a person with disability, it's great for the rest of us.
Yeah, that's really cool.
And also, like you mentioned, like disabilities can be like a life thing, like a person that has them, or it could be a temporary thing. Like
right.
It could be someone that broke their hip or mm-hmm. that had a surgery, and that's a temporary one. And those accommodations obviously will be great for them at that moment. And sometimes we don't think about that part.
Yeah.
But because our daily life, it's so fast and it moves so fast, and we don't think about those little nuggets or little things. But it's there. And this month, it's a way to highlight that.
To raise awareness. Because I know, like, Bridget, a lot of times when we think disability, we only think physical,
mm-hmm.
right? But there's many other kinds of disability.
Yeah. And so we say the term a lot. We say identify as having a disability. When you work with SAIL, you don't have to come in with a letter from your doctor. You don't have to have some certificate or anything that says, here, I have proof I have a disability. It's if you identify as having a disability. And that's, it's our definition is so broad. It can be ADHD, anxiety, depression, anything, truly anything that's in, we always say invisible or visible.
Yeah, and is this sort of Disability Pride Month sort of also, you know, brings awareness, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I think the ADA is like, isn't it like 40 years old? It's been around a long time. But like the idea that we have grown seems especially like in the last, you know, maybe decade or so in terms of our understanding as a public of what that might mean, right? And so am I accurate in that? Do you feel like the perception of what a disability is has grown, or that more people who maybe didn't experience that or didn't have that in their circle understand it a little bit better?
That's surely the hope.
Yeah.
I hope we've grown. The ADA, and that's, we use acronyms all the time. I'm sure every, you know, corner of the world has their own acronyms. It's the Americans with Disabilities Act.
Right.
And so that was passed in, it was 30, it's 30, and in the 90s,
yeah.
Well, in 1990, yeah. And so I surely hope we've grown since then and been able to broaden our scope of what a disability is, and really that it's nothing, there's nothing wrong with having a disability,
mm-hmm.
and it's really society that should adapt to us, because everybody learns and thinks and exists in this world so different from another person.
Yeah.
I learn differently from you,
right.
And maybe I'm more of a visual learner, or maybe, you know, every single person has their own unique way of being,
yeah.
And I think that oftentimes we have this stigma associated with disability that doesn't need to exist. It doesn't belong here. And so if we just take that out and say that, you know, our definition of having a disability is this incredibly broad, inclusive world that we all live in, and how do we adapt to meet everybody's needs?
Mm-hmm.
That's really what it's all about. And the ADA that was passed into law is the bare minimum.
Mm.
It is there as a law to protect people so that they get the same accommodations that would allow them to exist. Like it's that piece of law that says, no, you have to make a building accessible to somebody who is low vision, or
right.
you have to make the building, you have to make bus systems accessible to people who utilize mobility devices. It's that bare minimum what happens in a workplace? Like, what accommodations do you make for somebody who wants to work anywhere that they want, like work at Fred Meyer or
mm-hmm.
work wherever they want to work? And so that's what the ADA is. And I think on top of that, so it's awesome that we have this law and that it's existed for 35 years. And on top of that, we should celebrate even more than that, you know, that
yeah.
even more, that's where Disability Pride Month comes in.
Right. And that is this month, and you have an awesome celebration for this, which is movie night. And this has happened before, I think. You've done this in the past. And so tell us, Glow, I know I mentioned it. It's happening on July 23rd, which I believe is next Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be where, and what movie are we going to be enjoying?
So it will be at Gold Town. It is a place that is accessible. It's very cozy, and we're going to be watching the movie Champions. It's a comedy. It's very fun, heartfelt movie that everyone can come in and watch. I was told when I decided to come here that I will say this, the Spanish version is way better. If you love closed captions, watch it too.
You mean like
the subtitles?
You mean the Spanish dub, or is
no,
it Spanish?
No, it is. There, like, this movie has been, it's a remake from the original.
It's a remake, okay.
From a Spanish movie called Campeones, which is actually based in true events. There was like this group of people with disabilities that won 12 championships in Spain. And now they made this remake a couple of years ago, and that's the one that we're showing.
I see. Okay. why not just challenge us and have us have the Spanish version? Maybe you can
maybe we can do two versions.
Part
two
of us saying that we are happy to accommodate everyone, it includes
right,
there will be open captions.
It is interesting, though, because you think about, you know, I think about it with this because it's a radio show, which is, you know, auditory, right? So, like, people who can't necessarily hear it, how could they also access it? We have a visual now, but, you know, you could, I guess you could turn on captions on YouTube. So you could do it that way. But I do think about that in terms of films because you may have different people who, like yourself, are talking about, you know other languages or speak other languages. And if the movie's in English and we're watching maybe the Spanish subtitles, but what if we have other people who need different things, right? So it's really interesting and intriguing. I know this movie stars one of my favorite actors, Woody Harrelson.
Yes.
And so it's probably a feel-good movie, I would imagine.
It is. Yeah. And it's kind of like, you know, sometimes it's okay to have, like the same theme on a feel good movie, that it's that everyone will work together to get a goal.
Right.
But it also it's great because it's like every other day or like any workplace, you just have to tone in like what it's the strengths of your team in order to actually get into a goal. And kind of like that's the message and it's great.
Yeah.
Very good way to celebrate and be there.
I love that. That's so cool. And it's happening again on Wednesday, July 23rd. Are you doing any other things around Disability Pride Month? Anything we want to know about beyond the movie night? Or are there any upcoming groups that people should know about that they might want to sign up for? I know you'd have different support groups and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Yep, we have our ongoing support groups. We just finished off our Brain Reboot, which I think came on the radio to talk about it a couple months ago.
How did it go? How did the Brain Reboot go?
I think it went pretty well.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah. But we've got our typical support groups, the low vision peer support group. We've got the deaf and hard of hearing support group. And these are all ones that if this is like, man, I have a loved one that would definitely be interested in that, you can always reach out to SAIL. And we'd be happy to get people connected.
So, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And you both work there. Just remind me real quick before we have to go, what is it that you do at SAIL, Bridget?
I am in the operations department.
Operations,
just general operations.
Just do what number 9 other duties
yeah,
as assigned,
other duties.
Right? That's always the joke. And then Glow, what is it that you do over at SAIL?
I am the communications coordinator.
Okay. And what does that mean?
I right now work with the social media and like any posters or anything that you see out there from us.
I put my hands in there. Okay. And so in addition to the website sailinc.org, it sounds like we can also follow on social media. Are you on SAIL Inc. at everywhere else or how do we find you on social?
Yes. So we are SAIL on Instagram and SAIL Inc. on SAIL on Facebook and SAIL Inc. on Instagram.
SAIL Inc. on Instagram, and then you can search for Southeast Alaska Independent Living on Facebook. And that's where you also post all the events and things that are coming up and people can watch out for it. Awesome. Bridget Thompson, Glow Ramirez, thank you so much, Gwyneth Cheesh, for coming in and telling us about Disability Pride Month and also the movie is Champions. It's next Wednesday, July 23rd. What time does it start at?
It starts at 7. Doors will open. Around 6:30, and then the movie at 7 p.m.
Okay, excellent. Movies at 7 p.m. And that's going to be over at the Gold Town. That's awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming in again, Gwyneth Cheesh, for being here. And we'll see you next time when you got another thing coming up. Really appreciate you being here. All right, this is Juno Afternoon on KTOO. Here's a little Star Party.
Let's have a star party. This is Steve Kosas with the Marie Drake Planetarium. I'm going to talk about life in other worlds. Our Milky Way galaxy, a spiral galaxy, has a lower bound of 100 billion stars. And all those stars have planets. So let's just say that each star has at least one planet. So that's 100 billion planets. And of those planets, we assume that 1% of them have conditions suitable for simple life, one-celled life. So that would be a billion planets. So next, let's assume that of those billion planets, that 1% of those have conditions suitable for more complex life, life that can exist on land and can search out food. So 1% of a billion is 10 million. And let's continue this. Let's say that of the 10 million planets with more complex life, 1% of those have conditions for advanced life, life that is self-aware and intelligent and capable of developing technology. So 1% of 10 million is 100,000. So if there's 100,000 planets with what we call intelligent life, with technology that does not destroy itself through its technology or dies out from environmental issues, there would be an advanced civilization about every light year, since our galaxy is about 100,000 light years in diameter. So that means that there is a chance that we may pick up signals from other intelligent civilizations, and there'd be more than one of us in the galaxy with intelligence. This is Steve Kosas with the Marie Drake Planetarium. Our public shows are on our website at mariedrakeplanetarium.org. Thank you.
Hi, this is Cheryl Snyder, KTOO's Vice President. Congress just voted to rescind all funding for public media. This will have devastating impacts on rural stations across Alaska, including KTOO. We are now facing the immediate loss of $1.2 million, or 34% of what it takes to be here for you every day. At this critical moment, please donate what you can at KTOO.org. Dollars raised now will help us preserve as many local voices on the air as possible. Thank you.
Wasn't born to walk in nobody else's shoes. Wasn't put here to live a life that I didn't choose. I refuse to shrink to fit all your expectations, and I refuse to accept all your limitations. And I may not be for everybody, but you can be sure that I know my worth. I've been told that I'm a creature of disbelief. Stole a few hearts, but does that make me a lifelong thief? I walk tall 'cause of all them that paved the way.
That right there is a little witty young man with Creature of Disbelief, which she came in and did here live in the studio on the red carpet stage in the Carolyn Hobbs Peterson studio here at KTOO. You're listening to Juno Afternoon. I'm your host, Boston Christopher, and the medieval era comes alive again for the fourth time. It's the Masters Fair. It's next Saturday, July 26th. It's part of the Juno Masonic family. They're the ones who are producing this, and you can find out more at Masters Fair, and that's fair with an E at the end, F-A-I-R-E, mastersfair.com. You can find out all the information that's going on there. But you don't have to wait for the information, because right here in the studio with me now, I have Sorsha Hazelton, who is going to tell us all about everything that's going on. Let me find the right camera angle there. There we go. Welcome. Good to teach for being here, Sorsha. How are you today? Wasiti.
Busy, but good.
Yeah, you're getting everything ready. You've got about a week or so to go.
Yeah. So many things to do still, but we got a week to go.
Okay. So First off, before we talk about the fair itself, tell me about the Juno Masonic family, what that is.
Yeah, we're a collection of nonprofits in a variety of ways that people can, groups can be nonprofits. Some of us are like 501c3s versus fraternal organizations.
But, right.
Yeah, so we have come together and we are collectively hosting the Master's Fair. And some of the groups that host are the Juno Rainbow Girls. The International Order of the Rainbow for Girls is a skill building community service group for youth. They've been serving Juno since 1932. The Eastern Star serves and supports Juno's women and children and has for about 110 years.
Okay.
The Shriners Hospital, the Shriners Club, which will be fundraising for their hospital. The nearest ones in Portland, but the ones in Alaska tend to support a travel fund. And we know that there's lots of kids who have received support from the hospital in town.
Mm-hmm.
So we're a bunch of different groups and we all use the same building. So we're all hosting our event at our building.
I see. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so this is the fourth iteration of the Master's Fair, and this was your brainchild years ago?
Okay.
How did it get started?
The idea came from one of our previous Masonic family leaders, Doug Harris.
Okay.
He had the idea and started planning the first Master's Fair in 2018,
uh-huh.
and then he was diagnosed with stage four cancer.
Oh.
And so he... the plans just kind of died, and then COVID hit, and so we resurrected it because we think it's a super cool event, and he had already started some of the work, and he had all of these ideas, and he was able to attend the first one before he passed.
Oh, that's so nice.
So we do it for Doug. Doug was amazing and inspiring to all of us, and so we do it for Doug and because we think it's super cool. He had a really cool idea,
yeah.
and we're just making it happen.
Okay, so tell me, because I've heard of, now, when people hear Master's Fair or something in the summer, they might think Renaissance Fair, or they think this thing, but you bill it as sort of medieval come to life. So what does that mean, and what happens at the fair?
The term Renaissance Fair does tend to describe in its original iteration a period of time for a fair that is in the Renaissance period.
Yeah.
Which is usually post 1600.
Okay.
And we don't particularly care. There's lots of things that bill themselves as Renaissance fairs, but that are actually medieval fairs.
Right.
We wanted to be able to include Vikings, and Vikings are not Renaissance.
Ah.
And so we have... the lore for our fair sets ourselves much earlier than the Renaissance. So we are a medieval fair, but call it a Ren fair. We use it in our hashtags. It's a really popular term. It portrays what we do, even if not quite when we do it.
It just became, Ren fair just became the term for these kinds of fairs.
The historic fair.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, we're not kicking anybody out if you're not wearing the right costume.
Right.
I'm not. But
so, and people, so it's sort of like, people dress up, they can become part of, is there like factions or do people, I know there's some demonstrations that probably happen.
We have some, yes.
Yeah.
We don't have like, some people may have visited the Three Barons Fair in Anchorage, which
mm-hmm.
is definitely faction based. We don't have enough volunteers yet to do that.
Okay.
So we don't have that per se, but we do have the Society for Creative Anachronisms
mm-hmm.
will be doing their sword fighting. Amp Guard live action role playing will be back doing their archery, and we're working out some details on some other various projects. But yeah, we have plenty of vendors, some food, some music, some good times,
and
costumes.
And this is happening July 26th, which is a week from tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
It's on a Saturday. It's from 11 to 8 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
and it's at 9315 Glacier Highway, which
is across from Valley Restaurant.
Across from Valley Restaurant. Okay,
mm-hmm.
I get it. I know where that is. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah. Okay. And then, sword fighting, costume contest, merchants, food. Really exciting and family friendly. Bring the kids and all that
for
kind
sure.
of stuff.
Yep. We're super family friendly, and it's all on one level, and there's no like, no gravel you really have to deal with. So it's super accessible. We have lots of kids. We have discounts for anybody in costume.
Oh, nice.
And we don't care what the costume is. We have plenty of Spider-Man and Iron Man and bananas. And, we don't care what the costume is. We think Juno doesn't have enough costume opportunities. So
well,
whatever you want to wear.
I guess with the multiverse being a thing now, you could have Iron Man travel back in time and do whatever Iron Man does. I don't know. There's time is
fight
relative,
some knights,
right?
That's what he's gonna do.
Fight some knights. Now I have a really cool image here from your website, which has a bunch of different photos. Looks like there's a kid in a banana outfit
mm-hmm.
beating up some guy in armor.
Yep. Every banana's a dream.
Every banana's dream. That's just kind of a thing that happens. I see archery happening. So is that where people can, is it a contest or is it where people can
have
fun?
It's run by one of our particular booths. So that's not something we run. I don't know their nuances, but they have archery set up in the woods and you fire into the woods and they have a great time back there. It's always one of our more popular booths.
And I do see there's a photo here where there's some like costumes on a rack. Is there
we have a photo booth.
Oh, I see. Okay, a photo booth. So if I don't have a costume, but I want to get a photo, you have some things that I might be able to put on and get a photo?
Yep, and we have some vendors that are also selling costume pieces.
Okay.
So yeah, for sure. And there's the costume shop in town that I'm sure has things as well.
Sure.
Balloons by Night Moods over by the airport.
Yeah. Yep. So tell us a little bit about some of the vendors that you'll be having out there.
Yeah, we have this year, I think we're at 28 vendors.
Oh, wow.
I don't know that I have my latest numbers yet, but we are still accepting more. We have specific people have requested like a leather worker, and I haven't been able to hear back from our leather workers. We haven't been able to hear back from either of our blacksmiths. So if you do those things and you do a trade and you want to show it off and you want to answer questions about it, definitely get in touch. We're also still looking for musicians, but we have some. Let me flip my little pages. We have plenty of jewelers. We have some food. We have a henna artist that will be back. I think this is her third year.
Nice.
We'll have a tarot card reader or two, plenty of artists. And we're still working out our details, but everything came in the mail for us to do dragon races.
Dragon races.
Dragon jousting.
Tell me about dragon races and jousting. What does that mean?
We have some little inflatable dragons that we can have people race.
I love it.
And then we took an idea from our friends at the Valdez Renaissance Fair who have the inflatable dragon costumes, and they joust.
Wait, you mean like those things I've seen, like memes where people put on the giant costume and like the head goes above their body?
No, this one looks like you're riding a dragon.
Oh, it looks like you're riding a dragon.
Our jousters will look like they're riding the dragons. Oh, our races are just kind of, they look a little bit like pool toys.
Okay.
But they should be able to withstand the weather.
right.
Yeah, so we're going to have, you know, people have been wanting more free activities, and so we're incorporating them when we can. We're a super small team. Takes us a while to get things worked up, and still a fairly small event. So I know a lot of people want us to see us with longer hours, which we do have this year.
Yeah.
But our vendors did not want 2 days.
Right.
So we're not doing that, but we did talk about it. And I know people want to see us at a bigger venue, and we want to be at a bigger venue, but a bigger venue is so much more expensive.
Right.
And so we will work toward that. And if you are out there and you want to see us be a bigger event, bring all of your friends.
Nice. Yeah, bring your friends for sure.
But yeah.
That sounds really cool. It sounds like it's an awesome event. It's going to be next Saturday, July 26th. It's from 11 to 8. So basically the whole day, you can get your medieval on, as it were, which is kind of fun. So tell me, Sorsha, about your experience. It sounds like you've been traveling around. You've gone up to the Three Barons Fair, you've been to the Valdez Fair maybe, or you've been to other fairs around the country and you're getting ideas that inspire you to do stuff here?
I have been to the Three Barons Fair. Okay. I have not been to the Valdez Fair. They started 3 years ago. They started the year after us. They're growing so fast.
Yeah.
We have a digital friendship with them.
I see.
And so we're very excited to see how many. They had 1,500 people come out this year.
Whoa.
Which is so fun. The road system must be so great for them.
Well, because the town's only like 5,000 people, so that's pretty amazing.
And they have brought in entertainers from out of state.
Wow.
And so, yeah, I have seen a lot of various things online. I have only been to the Three Barons Fair. I have hopes to go to others, but it just hasn't happened yet. But yeah, we're pulling out as many ideas as we can. We have a survey every year of our attendees to see what they would like to see from the fair. And so far, we are all on the same wavelength. We have had pretty much all of the ideas everyone has suggested. It's just how we can make them happen here, how we can make them happen. You know, if I want more musicians, musicians have to be willing to play for me.
Right.
And they are not always. So
how did you start doing this when you were a kid? Did you get into When did you start getting into the medieval fairs?
I have always been into history. I have one of my degrees is in history.
I see.
It's, you know, my parents have an interest. The cloak I'm wearing my dad made when he was in high school, college.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, I mean, it's something that we have an interest in personally. And then when the opportunity came up for us to, like, try a bigger field.
Yeah.
And we know that people in Juneau are always looking for places to wear their really cool costumes.
Yeah, for sure.
And so, like, here we go. Let's go.
And you mentioned getting in touch. How do we do that?
You can send us a message on either Instagram or Facebook. I prefer email because I'm ancient, clearly.
Yeah.
But we're at info@mastersfair.com, which is also listed on our Facebook.
Okay. And you're on Facebook as well.
Yes. We're at Masters Fair.
Masters
Fair. You
should
be able to Google us.
Yeah. Google it. Put in your favorite search engine, mastersfair.com, or find them on social media. It's the fourth annual Masters Fair next Saturday, July 26th. Sorsha Hazelton, thank you so much for coming and telling us all about it.
Thanks for having us.
It's exciting. I really think that's going to be so fun. This is Juno Afternoon from KTOO.
Listen to the stories. We cried and we laughed. Lessons from my history. But not of how we go back, 'cause we strive to move forward, a vision of what we can be. Full is our circle, complete is you and me, and we'll fill it with love, and we'll fill it with joy, and we'll fill it with pride. A vision of what can be my first Alaskans, my first Alaskans, my first Alaskans. I love you.
That's it for today's Juno Afternoon. Find show archives on kto.org/JunoAfternoon. Programming support comes from Alaska Airlines, Club 49, Hanson Grass, and Heritage Coffee Roasting Company. I'm Boston Christopher, producer and host of the program, with help today from Aaron Tripp. Go support KTOO at ktoo.org.
Maybe in the land, 10,000 years we met. There's beautiful native tribes. We didn't stop this fire, but we kept it in the dark times. And you're mine, my first Alaskans, my first Alaskans, my first Alaskans. Alaskans, I love you. My first Alaskans, I love you. My first Alaskans, I love you. I love you, I love you. My first Alaskans, 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 I love you.